This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I want to thank you for joining me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guests for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making family mealtime fun, friendly, and healthy. So get your copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show planned for you today with two great guests. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. Today we're going to be talking to two amazing women. Hannah Marie Mills and Marissa Molina are certified holistic health practitioners and the co-founders of Hello Beautiful Health, a platform for women that provides the tools to heal their relationship with food by relearning their natural body cues. With a proven step-by-step method, women free themselves from food anxiety and guilt, become fully attuned to their body, and trusting themselves with the food process again. In the process, women are able to regain complete control over their eating habits, overcome negative self-talk, reduce stress levels, and love themselves from the inside out, giving them the confidence to pursue the career, relationship, and life of their dreams. On today's show, we'll be talking with both Hannah and Marissa about the impact of dieting on the body and how you can transform your relationship with food so you never have to diet again. And as you know, this is a topic I'm very passionate about. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, hello. Thank you so much.
I'm really excited about today's conversation. And as everyone knows, very passionate about building a healthy relationship with food. And there's so much that goes into it, and that's why I love what the two of you do. And I'd love to start our conversation by having you share just a little bit more about your backgrounds and what it means to be a certified holistic health practitioner.
Absolutely. So both Hannah and I attended the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and we had the opportunity to really study many different types of nutrition, including over 100 dietary theories. However, as certified holistic health practitioners, we look at food, but more importantly, we look at areas of our life, factors outside of food itself that impact our eating habits. For example, how our work or our relationships and our levels of activity impact how much we eat and what we choose to eat. We also really believe in the principle of bioindividuality, which means that we recognize that every person is unique and there is no one-size-fits-all diet when it comes to our bodies and our ways of being. We honor and nourish, you know, food for one person can present itself as poison for another. We also understand that as seasons shift and as our age progresses, stress increases or decreases, and all these shifts in our lives cause shifts in our eating and lifestyle. So as a certified holistic health practitioner, what we really do is look at the whole picture of our lives when it comes to our eating habits and, you know, really give women those tools to really be able to confront any situation that comes and how their eating habits might shift in that process.
I really like that. I love the fact that you say it's not just what you eat, but what you choose to eat, because there's a lot that goes into the process, and it's not just about the foods. It's so much more.
Absolutely. We definitely agree with that. It's in fact, we think that food is really the byproduct or a symptom of, or what we choose to eat is really a symptom of what's happening in our lives.
Is it ever too late for someone to start transforming their relationship with food? Have they ever kind of gone past the point where there's no return, or can really anyone benefit from making this transformation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And the answer is absolutely not. It is never too late, no matter what age or stage in life, to transform your relationship with food. I mean, all relationships are ever evolving and transforming, whether or not we're even aware of it. And our relationship with food is no different. Our relationship with food really involves our thoughts, our feelings, and our decisions, like we were talking before, our choices when it comes to what to put or not put into our mouths and therefore what to put into our bodies. And the reason that our relationship with food is such a pressing topic today is because we are constantly bombarded with the latest fad diets and eating trends, and whether or not we notice it, our ways of thinking about food and ourselves really begins to shift. So, you know, for instance, a few years ago, low-fat and no-fat were the most popular diets, and today paleo, vegan, and gluten-free are some of the fads today. And, you know, there's these scientific studies and these expert opinions that are telling us that meat is good for us, and then at the same time, we have the same number of experts and studies declaring that meat is bad for us. So really, it's like asking ourselves, okay, well, how are we supposed to navigate through it all when we have all this contradictory information coming at us? And what ends up happening is that we've become so reliant on what is considered healthy that we no longer trust ourselves to make the right decisions for ourselves. So our goal and what we do is we help people to transform their relationship with food by reconnecting to their natural body cues. And during the process, they begin to really crave nourishing foods and eat just the right amount and finally feel a sense of ease when it comes to eating and looking in the mirror. So when we really transform our relationship with food, we get to transform our relationship with ourselves. And after all, the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So this begins with food, but it transitions everywhere in our lives, and it is never too late to get going on that journey.
I absolutely love the way you put that. And you said a couple things that really stuck out to me is about what we put in our mouth going into our body, because I think a lot of times people disconnect and think they don't realize that the food that they're eating really does fuel and help their body, or it holds their body back. And I think if they can learn to make that connection, that'll really help them make better choices.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, every 7 years, every single cell in our body is regenerated. So we have these new cells in our bodies, you know, every 7 years. So it's really an opportunity, each meal, each bite of food, you know, each experience that we have in our life to create what it is that we want in our lives. It's never too late, you know? So definitely.
I agree with that. And I was at an event yesterday, and actually someone was talking about wanting to eat vegan because their teenage daughter was doing that. And I think there are more younger people trying different ways of eating, looking at what they should and shouldn't be eating. And I think as parents, it's really important for us to look at how we can support our children and make sure they get the right information. Because like you said, there's an awful lot of information out there. We're not really listening to our bodies anymore. We're listening to everyone around us. And we're ignoring the one thing that can really tell us what's working and what's not.
Absolutely. I think we truly believe that we've, because of this, our culture and what's thrown at us on a daily basis on TV and in magazines and on the internet, that we're constantly confused by what to do. And we completely stop trusting ourselves, you know, and that kind of leads to illness and to all those things, you know, any food, you know, overeating any food, you know, whether it be kale or water or, you know, potato chips can make us feel not great. And our body will naturally kind of tell us that we don't listen to it anymore.
Right. And I think you can tell pretty quickly when you eat something, how it impacts your body. If you really learn to pay attention to it, some people say they can't tell a difference, but I really truly believe that if you really start to listen to your body, it tells you exactly what you need to know.
Absolutely. Yes. I think it's so, I think the biggest reason we struggle with that today is that we have so many food rules created, you know, so since the very first days of our lives, you know, really we're taught when and how much to eat and what to eat. So for instance, you know, a lot of people have the clear the plate syndrome where maybe your mother or someone dear to you said you couldn't get up from the table until you finished your plate or at least finished your broccoli or something like that. And so right from the get-go, we're taught not to listen to what our body's asking us for and when to stop. We're taught to just listen to these rules. And so really it's like a process of having to deconstruct those old habits and allow ourselves to relearn our natural body language, because that's really what it is. You know, it's our innate language. So we all have the capacity to do it. We just have to tune back in.
Biologically, our bodies have evolved to really tell us exactly how much to eat and what nutrients we need. And we just don't, you know, we live also, another factor is really just living in this, like, high-paced, you know, high-stress environment, as I think that most people can relate to, that we're running from one thing to the next. And we don't even realize what we're eating or paying attention to how those things impact our body because we're so focused on what we're doing next. And so really taking the opportunity to get connected to, you know, one's eating kind of not only opens the door for, you know, relaxation and taking care of one's body, but, you know, also gets us really reconnected to, like, what foods we enjoy, which ones provide us with energy, which one makes us feel great, and, you know, being mindful and aware of what we're putting in our body and how we're eating it makes a really big difference.
I like that reminder, you know, really paying attention to what we enjoy. And I know growing up for me, it was always, you know, you can't leave the table till your plate is empty and, you know, people across the world are starving, so I had to eat my dinner. I never quite understood that one. And, you know, I find myself now as a grandparent, you know, sometimes when the kids are eating all, they say they're done, and it's like, wait a minute, I want to say, but you haven't finished your meal, and then I'm aware of it, so I catch myself and say, okay, if you're finished, then that's fine, you know, dinner's over, the meal's over, it's okay not to finish what's on your plate, but it's sometimes hard to break that cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's so great, because, you know, growing up, actually, my mom learned quickly how I worked. You know, I think as kids, the metabolism is moving so fast that they, you know, they get full quickly, but they also get hungry pretty quickly after. And so for me, for dinner, you know, that would have been the typical way, is you have to finish your plate. But instead, my mom would put it off over to the side, because she said pretty much every time right after she cleans the kitchen, I'd be running downstairs and saying, like, okay, I'm hungry now. And so mm-hmm. she would just leave my plate there for me, and I would be able to finish my meal at that time. So I think that was, like, a really great practice. So it didn't feel like wasting food, mm-hmm. but it also allowed honoring the body.
Yeah. Kids really do know what they need, and I really listen to the grandkids and really listen to when they're asking for food. And you can quickly figure out, are they just bored? Or are they really hungry? Because it goes back to, you know, what do they really want? If they're willing to eat just about anything, then they're really hungry. If they are asking for a particular food, it means they're just probably bored and, you know, they're not really physically hungry. So it's getting in tune with that. And it, you know, it's the second time in probably a week that I've heard that statement about your cells being replaced every 7 years. So I think that's important for people to remember, that your body does regenerate, so it's never too late to start building a healthy relationship with food. We need to take a real quick break, and when we come back, I'd love to ask and really hear from both of you on your big why for eating healthy, and also talk about some of the amazing recipes that you've got on your website. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Hannah Mills and Marissa Molina, and we're having a great conversation on building a healthy relationship with food and really listening to your body. And I'd love to ask both of you, because I love to ask this of all my guests, what motivates you to live healthy and share your message about healthy living with others? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live healthier and share what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to share that with you. You know, I think that what, you know, Hannah and I have done a lot of studying in the world of nutrition and health, and you know, part of that has been driven by our own desire to remain healthy. But what in our experience, in our life experience, and what we've, you know, discovered through reading, really in our studies, nearly every woman out there has really had some sort of negative experience with food in their lifetime, including ourselves. And for me, that really began as in early childhood. I think I was about 9 or 10, and I had a doctor tell me that I was overweight and I needed to start watching what I ate and how much I exercised, you know. And I remember just being totally furious and telling my mom, I don't want to go back to see her. She's mean. That's awful. And, you know, they didn't make me go back, but it didn't change the idea that there was something wrong with me that needed to be fixed. And it started like an obsession with dieting. And in my sense, it was being healthy. And that, you know, turned into, by the age of 30, I had been on every diet in the book. You know, low fat, low calorie, low sugar, no sugar, low carb, no carb, paleo, the list goes on, you know, in the terms of the word, you know, being healthy. Like, that was, like, what I was doing. And I really, like, my weight fluctuated up and down, and I never felt good, and I was hungry, and, you know, my energy levels were poor. And that eventually kind of transformed into digestive issues. And I had some pretty serious digestive issues that, you know, were plaguing me for about 3 or 4 years, and I couldn't figure out it. And I had gone, you know, don't eat nuts, don't eat dairy, don't eat gluten, you know, and had gone through the whole thing. But it wasn't really working. Like, I couldn't figure out what was happening. I was getting the tests and going to these doctors and that doctors, and no one could figure that out. And it wasn't until I really got connected to listening to my natural body cues, and recognizing that there were other symptoms and other reasons behind the digestive issues, that I really, you know, found peace with food and reached a weight that felt good to me, and, you know, really started to, like, love myself and listen to what was happening. And, you know, I know Hannah's going to share her story, but we, you know, really find that that has been, is like a profound shift in ourselves personally that we love to give to other women.
I love that.
So for me, it was a little bit different. You know, from a young age, I was suffering from comparisonitis, like I like to call it, in which I was constantly comparing myself to others to prove to myself why I wasn't good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or thin enough or whatever it was. And I think today that that's something that's very present for a lot of people with, you know, social media and that whole, like, you know, trying to have your life be a Pinterestable life. And back in the day, you know, when I was in high school, I really started to begin to believe that if I could be thinner and then even a little thinner than that, that I would be happy. And so I really got caught up in that. And unfortunately, you know, I began to starve myself and meticulously restrict what I ate. and how worthy I was began to be completely dependent on this scale. So I would weigh myself on an hour-by-hour basis if I could, and I became completely obsessed with my weight. There was no such thing as thin enough, and, you know, obviously my self-love tank was running on fumes, and this battle continued for me for about 10 years, and it wasn't until I learned to love myself and accept myself unconditionally that I was able to really focus on listening to my body and what it really wanted and what it really craved, and eventually learn to trust myself with food again. And, you know, really understanding that our bodies are perfectly engineered, and when we give ourselves permission to listen, our bodies really will take care of us and reach that natural state of balance and all of that. But, you know, it was a really long journey for me, and then I got into nutrition and all of that, and I started to focus more on, instead of it being about being thin, it started to be about being healthy, right? So then it was about, you know, trying all the diets in the book, like Marissa mentioned. And at the time, I didn't think I was dieting because I just thought that I was trying to be healthy. But what I was doing was still constantly keeping my worth on dependency of something else. So if I was being a vegan, you know, was I being a good enough vegan? Or if I was being paleo, am I being paleo enough? And so it's constantly creating this opportunity to compare ourselves on something outside of our own self-worth. And so today it's about, like, you know, my self-worth is only dependent on what I declare it as. And that's such a liberating thing. And there's nothing I want more than to give every woman that opportunity, you know, to really love themselves despite the food, despite what else is going on outside of themselves.
So we know that women, like, around the world really struggle with food, and they feel guilty and they're anxious, and they really value themselves by that number on the scale. And it keeps them from enjoying life, and it keeps them from having the confidence to, like, pursue their dreams, whether that be a career or a relationship or whatnot. And, you know, we're really committed that every woman be able to live to her fullest potential and to contribute her unique gift to the world, and to not let food and her body image or her health stop that from happening.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I think we often tend to look at other people's highlight reels and, you know, really compare that to our own life, but we're not seeing their behind-the-scenes footage, so we see them look perfect and thin and put together, but we don't know what's going on in the background. And I love that word. What was it? Pinterestable
life.
Yeah, I mean, that is like, that's a tweetable. I think that there's so much out there in all of the visuals, and, you know, people are constantly, you know, redoing pictures and editing things. So you don't even know what's real and what's made up. And I think we do tend to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, I'm not perfect. Well, everyone's different. And I love the fact that you focus on self-worth. And I also think it's really important that, because Marissa, when you were talking about your, you know, being told at a young age that, you know, you needed to get a little bit healthier. I, you know, remember, I think my age was 11 when I had that conversation. And granted, I mean, I needed to lose a few pounds, but there are, you know, now as I'm approaching 60, you know, you remember fewer and fewer of those times. But I remember being in the student nurse's office on the scale, and to this day, you know, from seventh grade, I see that in my head oftentimes when I'm looking in the mirror, and it left such a profound remark because of the way she said it and what she did. And back then they didn't realize what an impact that would make on people. But I think it's important for us as parents and as role models to really think of those words we're using and how we're getting kids to think about their bodies and what they're eating, because it's starting younger and younger. And once it starts, it's really tough to change the way they think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's a very, anything, it's exactly in the words that they speak, right? It's exactly in how it's being told to you that makes the biggest impact. And what's funny is, for me, I was just preparing for puberty, and I ended up thinning out, but it doesn't matter. It was the moment and the way that it said, she said it, that had it be wrong, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's what we really like to give the gift to women, so that they can give this gift to their children, is that there's a way to talk about food and there's a way to relate to food, that it's something that nourishes our body and brings us energy and makes us feel good, or it doesn't make us feel good, rather than having it be anything about the physical image that there is, or the weight or the number or the value of it. And really just being able to look at, okay, this is, you know, what I'm doing and how can I feel better and all those things, right? Because we know, especially for, you know, the obesity epidemic in children now, that it's not just about what they're eating. There's so much more. There's so much more to the psychology of it and the way that kids think, and so many kids sneaking food or things like that. That definitely occurs when there's that conversation about, you know, you're overweight or you're fat or you need to lose weight or things like that. So, you know, it really, again, it, even at that young age, there's just so, it's a delicate subject and it can really impact us lifelong.
I definitely agree with that. And I think if more people really become aware of how they can have that conversation, and how do you have a dialogue where, you know, the other person walks away feeling like they're in control versus feeling like they're a failure. I think that makes a big difference on the next steps and the actions that they take.
Absolutely. Definitely. It's definitely about feeling like you have some power in that area of your life.
Well, this has probably been the most fascinating big why conversation, and we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I really do want to switch over and talk about your HelloBeautifulHealth.com site and some of the things that you do. And as we're going to break, I just want to give everyone this visual, and then you can share more about your recipes, because I know on your website you've got a lot of great recipes. And I love the coconut pancakes and anything that's got cilantro. And I know you've got a cilantro avocado salad. So I want people to think about that and some healthy images, because food can be healthy and flavorful. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community, so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Marissa Molina and Hannah Mills. And if you missed it, you need to go back and listen. We had the most fascinating big why conversation. And while they both had different experiences, there's a lot of overlap too. And I think how you have the conversation with your children or with the people that you love, no matter who they are in your life, how you have the conversation about any changes you think they need to make or how you think they look really impacts the action that they take. So again, go back and listen to that. It's fascinating. And I'd love to ask both of you a little bit more about your website, hellobeautifulhealth.com. And I know you talk a lot about transforming your relationship with food and bringing more love into your life. And I know, in fact, you have a course titled Eat for Love, which I love. How are food and love related?
Yeah. Our relationship with food is related to how we feel about ourselves and how we treat ourselves. This is really, really strongly reflected in the way that we take care of ourselves and in the way that we relate to and interact with others. And when women transform their relationship with food, they also get to transform their relationship with themselves and how they interact with others. So really how you're showing up in life. And when they give themselves complete permission to eat and begin to value themselves and their bodies, they also allow themselves to more openly receive love and to ask for what they need in their relationship. So, for example, you know, many women really harshly judge themselves when they eat about how much they ate or what they ate, and they find themselves constantly having negative thoughts about what and how much they ate and therefore, you know, negative thoughts about themselves. And these thoughts really do spill over into all other areas of life, including their relationships. And through the process of transforming their relationship with food, they get to learn to have more compassion for their eating habits, but also more compassion for themselves. And they get to learn to transform their thoughts about themselves, which has them develop more confidence really in all areas of life. And they get to end the habits of emotional eating and stress eating and binge eating because we really get to deal with that stuff that's underlying. And, you know, the second way is that women begin to identify and become more aware of their eating habits. They really get to be connected to what they want and what they deserve in their eating, but also in their life. And they learn to set boundaries with friends and family and their significant others that allows them to take care of themselves and their needs. So they end up being less stressed and really getting to do the things that they feel make them, or that make them feel healthy and happy. So it's an all-over liberating thing. And sometimes it's not always easy to show up and, you know, tell people in your life, like, you know, this isn't working for me or I need something more out of this. And when we start establishing that in our relationship with food, it really gets to transcend into our relationship with others. So that's why, you know, we titled the course Eat for Love. It's also, you know, interconnected in that way.
Yeah, I think that just to add on to that, we really, you know, get connected to our love for ourselves, and that really has us be open to both giving love to others and receiving that love from others. And what we find in this so fascinating, you know, women who often struggle with, you know, weight or eating, you know, again, have these like negative judgments and thoughts all the time. And they also happen to be people who are very giving and, you know, are ready to put other people ahead of them all of the time. And so everyone seems to be more important than them, and they never find time to take care of themselves or to, you know, do the things that would really nourish their own bodies. And, you know, they get to this place where it not only, you know, perpetuates guilt, but it might perpetuate binge eating and emotional eating and stress eating. And so we really get to shift their thought process and say, wait a second, like, I deserve to have what I want to eat, and I'm going to give my permission to have that, and I'm going to set those boundaries with my friends and family to make sure that those are part of my life. And that really then has them open up and place boundaries and make powerful requests for other things in their lives outside of just food and exercise and things like that.
Absolutely. And you both said some really powerful things. And I think it is really important for everyone to understand that if you don't take care of yourself and fill your own tank, both with the right food and by taking care of yourself, you can't give as much as you really can to others. I think that we are so often willing to do and give to others openly as women, but we don't tend to take care of ourselves as much. The other thing that I think was really interesting, too, was the statement that, you know, we really want to be openly receiving love, and then it really helps us ask for what we need. Because, again, I think as women, we tend to not ask, and if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think also, like, going into so much of that, like, being able to ask or not ask has to do with that conversation that we're having with ourselves and our mind, you know, and it's really realizing that, you know, the thoughts that you have in your mind, a lot of times we find are thoughts that you probably wouldn't even think or say about somebody that you didn't like. We can be quite mean to ourselves in our minds, you know? And so it's really about, like, reprogramming that conversation to get to speak to ourselves from a place of love and understanding and compassion and really eliminate that, like, negative, hurtful self-talk. Because it's just like flexing or working any other muscle in the body. It takes practice to do that, but it's totally possible. You know, we get to have control over our thoughts as opposed to being a victim of our thoughts.
We do. And I think the other thing is one of my big lessons was by asking other people for help, it really helped them build skills and stand out. Because I've always been a doer and get out and do things, and people say, I don't offer to help because what do you need? You don't need anything. And what I realized, I was doing so much trying to make everything perfect, and it was exhausting me and making me feel isolated. When I started asking for help and getting people involved, there was so much more community, so much more connection. And actually, I felt like I was part of something much bigger versus being on an island by myself. It just was just phenomenal.
Totally.
Yeah. I think many women can relate to that. We've recently been talking a lot about that, how we have to feel like we're super women and we have to do everything without cracking an emotion or, you know, having a tear in our eyes, and it just it really causes a lot of you know, this desire to soothe our emotions with food, and that also you know, often becomes a byproduct of all this stress that we unneeded stress that we put on ourselves because we feel like we have to do it all by ourselves.
Yeah,
we do.
And also realizing too that, you know, let's say you're going through an emotional hardship, you know, let's say you just broke up with a boyfriend or somebody really dear to you, and it's a sad time for you, and you call one of your best friends, and you confide in them, and you say, hey, I could really use support right now. And, you know, when you flip the table, right, it's like, it feels like an absolute honor when a loved one calls on you like that. It really, really feels like an honor to show up for them, that they thought of you, that they looked at you with that, you know, compassion and sense of ease and all of that. So really realizing that, switching that flip, as opposed to I'm a burden when I call on my loved ones, realizing that it's really an honor to call on my loved ones, and that it's something that they enjoy doing for us. So, yeah.
They absolutely do. And I think it does help reduce the stress that we have. And, you know, I keep hearing, and I hear it over and over again, it's a great reminder. The mind can't tell the difference between what's real and the stories we make up. And I think we often do tell ourselves that we're a burden on others, or we don't want to intrude on them. They're too busy. But what it does is it gives people the opportunity to say yes or to say no. And I know I've learned that I don't take it personally when someone says they can't do it. But what I realize is it really opens up dialogue and conversation because they may be struggling or need something. So it's really a way that we can really help ourselves and help others too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Definitely.
You know, I'd love to ask both of you just to talk a little bit before we go to our next break, just to talk a little bit about some of the downsides of dieting. What impact does constant dieting have on our bodies and our life?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's an important thing to talk about. And we talk a lot about this with the women that we work with, that there's this misconception that dieting makes us happy, but it really also has a negative biological and emotional impact on us. You know, oftentimes dieting has us ignore, like we were talking about earlier, our natural biological hunger cues. And, you know, because we have these rules about when to eat or what to eat or how often to eat. And, you know, by ignoring our hunger cues, we actually slow down our metabolism. Our body does this in order to save energy for its normal vital functions, and it doesn't realize that we'll just get food later. It doesn't know that. And our metabolism slows down. We end up, when we do eat, storing more fat, and we don't recognize our hunger and fullness cues anymore. We have stronger cravings when we diet, and we store more belly fat. And, you know, in extreme cases with dieting, people can experience menstrual irregularities, dry skin, or hair loss. And, you know, also the research is showing now that rapidly losing and gaining weight can actually cause some really serious issues to our health. And then, of course, emotionally, dieting can really make us feel guilty and anxious and stressed or moody and tired because we're not giving ourselves enough energy. And that includes these low-carb or no-carb diets where, you know, some people really need those carbohydrates to have energy and to feel better. And, you know, you can feel like there's something wrong with you because you're not, the diet's not working for you, and that turns into feeling bad about yourself and losing your self-confidence or feeling like you're failing at the diet, which makes us really feel like we're failing at life. And, you know, these feelings has us be unable to focus on our tasks at hand and, you know, really be worried, you know, being constantly worried and stuck in what you ate or what you're going to eat. And, you know, it in turn has us be stuck in other areas of our life because we can't move forward, like staying stuck in our job or in our relationships. And again, you know, being moody and energy and feeling, you know, having these like low levels of energy can really cause friction in our relationships with our spouse or our children, you know, and kind of those ups and downs can really impact, you know, who we interact with on a daily basis. So those are really the, you know, in short, some of the impacts that we have with dieting.
No, you raised some great points, and we can talk a little bit more about that after our break. And then I also want to talk about intuitive eating and a little bit more about unconditional, you know, love and giving ourselves permission to really eat and listen to our bodies. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Hannah Mills and Marissa Molina, and we've been having a fabulous conversation on building a healthy relationship with food. And before the break, we were talking about their program, Eat for Love, and how food and love are related. And I also love the all the information you shared on the downside of dieting, because I think there's a lot of items and things that happen to our body when we don't take care of it. So that's really something for people to be aware of. And I'd love to ask you if you could talk just a little bit about intuitive eating and how does that differ from other types of eating?
Yeah, we would love to talk about that. So intuitive eating is a process that we use in our Eat for Love course. And it's really a process of getting reconnected to your natural body cues, as we've been talking about, and relearning your body's natural innate language. So, you know, we mentioned this before, but really from a young age, we've learned and created food rules to live by. I know one that we said we could all kind of relate to was that clear your plate syndrome, where you're told that you can't leave the table until you finish, you know, all or at least a particular part of your plate, like your vegetables. And another common one is no sweets after dinner, or if you do something well, then you get rewarded with sweets. And, you know, as we grow older, our food rules become influenced by the fad diets. For example, we have the gluten and dairy are bad for us. That's sort of floating around in the media right now. And then we go to work and we go to school and we're put on these meal times where we have lunch at a certain hour every day. And so we get trained to eat at that time whether or not we're hungry. And all of these rules really train us not to listen to our bodies and to treat our cravings as something to suppress with willpower. Intuitive eating is reconnecting ourselves with our natural body cues of hunger, fullness, cravings, and satisfaction, because every single craving that we have is absolutely a biological response to something going on inside of our body. And the cravings serve as a messenger. And it's really your job to tune in and respond accordingly. So, for instance, if you're craving red meat, it's likely your body needs iron. If you're craving something crunchy, typically it indicates you're stressed about something. Creamy foods can indicate you're looking for comfort because you're anxious or worried about something. You know, and thinking about that creamy food connection, realizing that if you go back to our very first influence of food was when we were breastfeeding. And so our very first association with whether or not we're like crying or we're upset or we're sad or we're hungry or any of these things were nurtured with this like creamy, high-fat, milky substance that that now to this day we still use in that way. And I think that's why a lot of people, you know, if they're going through a hard time, they just got laid off from work, a pint of ice cream sounds better than ever. And so it's really like getting to understand these cravings, why we have them, the origination of why we have them, and then being able to meet them and really nourish these cravings with healthful foods as opposed to destructive foods. And instead of suppressing them, it's really about listening to them. And I know something people, a huge craving people have is sugar. I know a lot of people deal with that, and that definitely, again, we're being told at the moment that sugar is just absolute poison for us, that it's the worst thing ever. And so realizing that sugar could mean a couple of things. You know, the first is that you probably haven't eaten enough during the day, and your body is really looking for a quick source of energy because it doesn't have any energy left. Or you haven't slept enough, and your body really needs a rest, so maybe taking a nap or a quick meditation or something like that. And, you know, these examples, it's really just the beginning of learning to listen to what your body is telling you. But when you relearn to listen to your body cues, you'll actually discover that you will begin to crave healthy foods and not desire, you know, excessive amounts of sugar or sweets or salty things like you used to. And you can do all that without having to torture yourself or going on a fad diet. And this gives you the freedom to eat whatever you want. But it also creates a sustainable way of eating. You know, this isn't dependent on what the next health or wellness expert tells you is good or bad for you. It really allows you to listen to yourself so that you can transform your way of eating when appropriate. So let's say with the season shifts or with your stress levels or, you know, whether or not you've slept, you're really able to shift it accordingly to nourish your body perfectly.
And there's quite a number of principles that there are, and really, you know, it's like giving your permission to eat. It's really like, you know, listening to your, you know, your body and your cravings, as she mentioned, and as Hannah mentioned, and really getting connected to that. There's like something below the symptom of eating or eating habits, right? And getting to the bottom of that so that you can really go to work and be like mindful of it in a non-judgmental way. One of the things that we really have our, you know, the women that we work with, you know, look at is, okay, well, why, what she was just talking about, why am I craving these foods? And okay, like I'm stressed or I'm anxious, so how, where do I go to work? I don't go to the work on cutting out those foods. I go to work on where can I, you know, impact or reduce my stress levels so I'm not wanting to eat ice cream at the end of the day. And so really getting to the bottom of that rather than restricting, which doesn't solve the problem. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid over that problem.
Now, you've given us so much to think about, and I think really listening to your body is so important. And I like the statement, you know, giving yourself permission to eat, because we have been brought up with all these rules about what to eat or what not to eat. And you know, I think of an example. I was out with someone, and we were at an event for a week, and she said she was gluten-free when we got there, and she ate all sorts of gluten and all sorts of stuff. And I asked her at the end of the week how she felt, and she said she was fine. If she really had an issue with gluten, she wouldn't have been fine. But she was so conditioned that she had to eat that way that, you know, she was doing it, but she really didn't need to because she wasn't listening to what her body really needed.
Absolutely. I think that it is like so incredibly important to pinpoint exactly what you just said, is that there's so many blog posts or news articles that, you know, if you eat gluten, here's all the symptoms that you get. If you eat dairy, this is all the symptoms that you get. If you have gut issues, it must be because of all of these foods. And really, you know, it's not, you know, we can have like a, I guess it wouldn't be a, but like kind of like a placebo effect where we feel like these things are neither causing us to feel a certain way or not causing us to feel a certain way. But in reality, it's just, you know, wanting to stick to that diet and really bringing ourselves back to like re-listening to our hunger cues and our fullness cues and our cravings and what our body really wants, you know, really has us be able to dissolve those rules or prove them ineffective, you know. And I think that that's an excellent example of that, you know, so many women are doing that, and it has an impact on our bodies.
And it's really interesting that, you know, you take and can relate eating and cravings really all the way back to, be, you know, as a baby, you know, breastfeeding and, you know, take it back quite a way. So it's really interesting. And I know our time is almost up, but can you just take a moment or so and really talk just a little bit more about giving oneself unconditional permission to eat?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the unconditional permission to eat is can be one of the most challenging processes, you know, pieces of the intuitive eating process. But the reality is that when we're dieting or we have rules about eating, it actually leads to binge eating and oftentimes, you know, emotional eating and things like that. And when we're no longer eating because of our emotions, or we're no longer denying our natural body cues and we don't have to rebel against ourselves and these rules that we put on ourselves, you know, we get really connected. For example, if someone tells you you can never eat bread again, all you really want is bread. And that's just right. How we work. And the moment you allow yourself to have, you know, it at every meal or anytime you want, the intrigue and the exciting or rebellious part or nature of us, you know, that we have, it really just dissipates. You don't desire it because it's available all the time. And so it seems counterintuitive because we don't trust ourselves to make the right decisions without these rules and guidelines that we set ourselves. But the truth is, when you take care of your physical and emotional needs and you learn to listen to your body cues, you don't crave those forbidden foods. And you can actually connect to what your body wants and why it wants what it wants. You know, really, it's kind of simple. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat, and you give yourself unconditional permission to live. And being able to enjoy or indulge in things, you know, on occasion, and really loving it. And it really translates into a sense of ease and happiness and confidence for women. And it's just, you know, I think we forget that the mind is very powerful. And giving ourselves unconditional permission to eat gets out of the way all of our, you know, thoughts and feelings and rewards and emotional connections to food, and gives us some freedom around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. We've had a great conversation today, and I think we could definitely have a follow-up conversation on that topic alone. Can you share with our listeners how they can learn more and connect with you?
Absolutely. Come and visit our website, hellobeautifulhealth.com. We have lots of wonderful free gifts over there that you can get instant access to, including actually our Crush Your Cravings guide, where we break down all the cravings that we were mentioning and the solutions to tackle them, and also our Revolutionary Food Journal to really start creating some massive transformations in your way of eating. And we also have all of the juicy details over there for our Eat for Love online course available on our website. And we honor each of you for showing up today, ready to transform your relationship with food. So we really want to extend a special gift to you. So if you sign up for our Eat for Love online course, we will gift you a free one-on-one consultation with Marissa and myself. In the course checkout page, just write that Eat Great, Live Well referred you, and we will schedule your one-on-one session to really start getting connected to your personal goals and your unique makeup and lifestyle. And we really do. We love to connect. So please feel free to reach out to us directly with any questions or thoughts that you have via email. Our email address is on our website, but our email address is hellobeautifulhealth@gmail.com. So we really look forward to hearing from you, and there's really nothing that fills us up more than supporting you. So please feel free to reach out.
Well, thank you for so generously sharing so much. And I want to get that craving guide. I love all of the things that you shared, because I think if people start to listen more to what their body, you know, what they want, and really tune in to what their body needs, then they can give it what it needs, and then you're not going to have all of those unusual cravings, and you'll be feeding it in a healthy way. And we will put a link on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page with today's interview so that people can connect with you from there too.
Fantastic.
As we wrap up our call, I would love to ask if you could give us just one action item that our listeners can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love.
Yes, absolutely. We'd love to. And this is great. So what we recommend is to really start experiencing the food that you eat. And what that means is tasting it, smelling it, not rushing it, and not eating while distracted. So that means chewing slowly, not eating in front of the TV or while you're sitting in front of the computer or while you're in the car, and really like getting in touch with the flavors and things that you enjoy. So choosing foods that satisfy your taste buds. Is that hot? Is that cold? You know, is that crunchy or is it, you know, liquidy or things like that? So really experience your food this week and take the time to think about and look at it and smell it and taste it this week. And that makes a tremendous impact and, you know, profound impact really in how much we eat and what we choose to eat.
So that goes back to where we started our conversation, talking about how much you eat and what you choose to eat. So we've really gone full circle. It's been just a fantastic conversation. And I want to thank both of you for your time.
Thank you so much for having us. It was our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on Facebook and share what foods you're craving, share what questions you have, and I'll share those with Marissa and Hannah, and we'll see if we can get you some more information and share what you loved about today's conversation. Take care and have a healthy and great week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.